Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 555. We're in the book, Binyan HaBayis, Living Marriage, by Rav Moshe Shechadowitz, and we're at the end of lesson one of his 10-lesson book, which is the introduction facets of marriage, and this is the last shir of lesson one. And we're going to examine now why proper intimacy welcomes the Shekhinah into the Jewish home. And we see how the Chazal connects intimacy to the Kodesh HaKadosh and the Holy of Holies. Om Rav Katina, Gemara Yuma says, B'shasha Yisrael Oyl L'Regel, when they used to go Yontif, to be Oyl L'Regel, Megalim Es HaPareiches, they would roll up the Pareiches. Omar Lahem Es HaKruvim, and it would show the Kruvim, which were the two images of Zachar and Akeva, male, female, that they were intertwined while embracing one another, and they would say, look how beloved you are before Hashem, like the love, of a male and a female. Rashi, clinging to one another, holding, embracing one another, like a man embraces a woman. No other way, no other imagery to show the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Knesset Yisrael out of the 10 million things that we could have thought about of what would show the Sahava, a man embracing a woman. The description of the Kruvim is found in Malachim Aleph, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Lamed, Vav. Kema'ayir ish levayis, like a man clinging to his accompaniment. Mai kema'ar ish levayis, what does this mean? Ama Rabba bar Rav Shila, ki ish hama'ura b'levi yishaloi, like a man clinging to his mate. Rashi, ki ish anidbak v'chibuk b'ishtei ben zera yaisav, like a man who cleaves to and embraces his wife within his arms. The Shekhinah rested in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. People would think and expect, where is the Shekhinah? In the Aron, where the Torah is. And Rav Katina said, that's a mistake. The precise location of the Shekhinah is between the embrace of the Kruvim, which represents the intimate relationship between God and the Jewish people. You see this in Malachim also, Malachim Beis, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Beis, calling the Holy of Holies, Chadar Hamitais. Rish Lakish said in Yuma, when the Goyim came into the Heichal, saw this Kruvim embracing, they went out to the public and they made fun of this. And they said, Yisrael Halalu, these Jews, Shebechasim Bracha Kolasim Kolala, their blessings are true blessings and the curses are true curses. So they knew their value. Yaskub with Varma Elu, they're busy with this stuff. Miyada Zilam, they disgraced it right away. And in Echa, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Ches, it says, Kal Mechabdeha, all those who honored her, he Ziluha disgraced her, he Ro Ervasa saw her nakedness. This is the Yesod HaYesodos. The Sid Chazal see the difference between the, like we mentioned in the previous shir, of the Bilam's yeshiva and his third students, splitting the world into two parts, identifying marital relationship as an animalistic act, which is an antithesis to holiness. And they don't understand this. This is what you put in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, expecting some secret holiness there, and the source of the holiness is in the Kruvim embracing. On the other hand, though, the Torah says, absolutely, a couple who approaches their intimacy properly, which is going to go through the next 9 lessons after this, is actually the foundation of holiness in a Jewish home. That is building the Kodesh HaKadoshim in one's home. It says here that when he approached one of the Gedolim regarding these classes, This gadol asked him if it was necessary to mention Rashi's words in Yuma that describes the intimate relations between the Kruvim that was found in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why do you have to mention that, Rashi, for? He says, well, people hold back from Aina. If they don't know about it, it's better not to emphasize this, Rashi. You have to emphasize the Rashi, ke'ish, that the Kruvim were together, ke'ish ha'nidbak v'chibak b'ishte ben zera Yosef. You have to express Rashi that's like a man who is clinging and embracing his mate. You have to mention that? Why is it necessary to mention that? M'dubakim zeh b'zeh, clinging to one another, v'chuzem v'chapkim zeh zeh, holding and embracing one another, k'zocha k'ayve k'sanakeva, like a man embracing a woman. Why do you have to mention this? People will know intimacy. They're not going to hold back from intimacy, even if they don't know this Rashi. Why do you have to emphasize these Rashis? And the author of Moshe said, I answered that the stipler explained to me that certainly no one will refrain if they don't know this Rashi. However, they may believe that they are performing an animalistic act, and we must teach them that in fact they are doing an act of the Kruvim. I'm going to repeat that. I answered this Talmud Chacham, you know, why do you mention this Rashi for? Is that the stipler explained to me that certainly no one will refrain if they don't know this Rashi. However, they may believe that they are performing an animalistic act, and we must teach them that in fact they are doing the act of the Kruvim. So therefore, every couple needs to make a Din V'cheshbon. Yes, they have to uproot unhealthy garbage that they see on the streets or read on in improper books or hear from the media and so on and so forth. But the schus that separates the fires of Gehenim to the Holy Shechinah is what? By knowing and working through healthy intimacy. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. Physical is one of those components. Of course, spiritually and emotionally too. That is the idea. The Maral writes as follows. On Saita Nuntes, Chedushi HaGadis, it says, Ki ish ve'isha kol echad mehem chelak ha'adam, they're both part of one Adam, Ushneim b'yachad heim Adam Shalom, and both together are a whole one person. Olfi malas ha'adam kashu shalom ha'shchina imay. And as he's whole, the Shekhinah is with them. Ki Hashem Yisbarach Samay Shmoy, rather, his name, Chal Al Dav HaShalim. His name is on a whole thing, and they connect that way. So it's not just about preventing fights. It's harmony. It's the ability to unify. And that is what it is. The next few minutes, we're going to talk now, because the next lesson, we finished lesson one. The next year, we're going to start lesson two, which is a deeper look at intimacy, the foundations of intimacy, embracing intimacy, the secret of success, the responsibility of intimacy. That's what's going to be lesson two. But we're going to talk about some of those concepts here of what marriage is, going back to the first lesson, of the loyalty of husbands and the healthy aspects of wives. Consistent communication. Men who are loyal and are faithful constantly communicate in a healthy way. They respect their wife as an equal. They uphold boundaries, healthy boundaries. Respecting your wife's boundaries. Don't try to boss your wife around like you're calling the shots all the time. Mutual respect. Valuing growth. Valuing authenticity. Men that don't shy away from their flaws. They embrace them as an opportunities for improvement. They believe authenticity isn't about being perfect, but about being real, acknowledging shortcomings. They see their wives as equals. This is not a feminist concept, okay? Women have their own roles halachically. Men have their own roles halachically. Women seem more limited in halachically aspects about minyan and things like that, okay? But the equality in value is non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable. That's not a feminist concept. It's a Torah concept. The roles, yes, they're the Torah concepts of male, female having different roles. But the value of treating each other with respect and with equalness and a certain way, recognizing that the greatness of each other's gender and what it represents is definitely part of it. And also, of course, taking full responsibility of your actions and not blaming others, not blaming external circumstances, embracing responsibility, maturity, self-awareness that reinforces healthy trust. Celebrating your wife's successes, not being intimidated. It's not a threat to your self-worth if your wife excels in something that you may not excel in. Support her dreams and aspirations. Rejoice in her achievements. Force a relationship where both of you can flourish. There's no room for insecurity, no room for competition, mutual respect and admiration, to prioritize the needs of their spouse. They understand that a relationship is not just about fulfilling their own desires, but about being attentive to their wife's needs. That doesn't mean you neglect your own needs or you become a shmata, but rather a healthy balance where both needs are met in a healthy way. Empathy, respect, not shying away from commitment, which is a choice that takes effort, to always be faithful, to always be loyal, to choose your wife day in and day out in every decision, to align your values with the Torah values together with her. So trust, empathy, and mutual growth. Not to be stuck in your own world, in your own thoughts, thinking about the other. So these are different attributes pertaining to lesson one of basics of marriage, going into it and being in marriage and being responsible. By women, similar. To understand, it's for men to understand this too, that her actions speak louder than words. They want, it goes both ways, but to be solid, even when times are tough, to be loyal, to not just love with words, but love in actions. A wife that truly loves her husband will act that way, will speak that way, but it will also act that way, that their actions are even stronger than their words. A wife that invests in her husband's growth, wants him to grow, wants him to thrive, wants to be there loyally, thick and thin, offering a mix of support. Sometimes it could be tough love. Sometimes she'll nudge you out of your comfort zone. Sometimes she'll urge you to chase your dreams, face your demons head on, and you listen to it. You value her opinion as part of your growth process. To value each other's freedom, in the sense to respect each other's individuality as well, and independence. As much as we talk about oneness, and we did in the first year especially, about it's not just being in your own narrow-minded masculinity as a man or femininity as a woman, but rather to go beyond that. But that doesn't mean that you check out of your own personality. You become a greater extension of yourself. Another healthy aspect is not to be afraid to show vulnerability. A husband needs to be safe enough for his wife so his wife will be willing to show her vulnerability. Safe enough that she could share her fears, her insecurities, and her doubts, which are not a sign of weakness, but a sign of deep trust and deep intimacy. Being vulnerable means you're risking hurt and rejection. It is shedding the protective armor we wear to shield ourselves. It's a brave act of courage. It's not easy, but when you do this, it deepens the bonds between each other. It forces understanding. If a wife is ready to expose her vulnerabilities, you keep it sacred. You keep it safe. This shows true deep commitment to the relationship, respecting differences, respect similarities between each other, respecting the differences. Could show up in many ways, in the hobbies and viewpoints and hashkaf in certain ways and how to handle things, to respect the differences. Support dreams and passions, open communication, understanding, love beyond the surface. It's not these major, big acts. It's all these small, subtle acts of love. Kind, simple acts of love, day in and day out, day in and day out. So this is just a small review of certain hagdamas of introduction of marriage, which we started to talk about in the beginning of this lesson, of how to get to a point to get to the next step, which we're going to talk about, Be'ezus Hashem, going forward, lesson 2, a deeper look into intimacy. Bracha v'atzlacha.